Lord, what a day is Thursday, August 21st, 2025. This is the week in charts. Obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending today. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules. So we're going to focus on, current market conditions, obviously, your questions on trading, your favorite stock and crypto picks. You can start punching those in now. Just put USD if it's crypto so I know what it is. And this week, we're going to focus on the methodology in action, and I'm going to talk about the importance of that in just 1 second, but it is really the missing piece. And through going through these trades, both before, during, and after, there's also a lot to learn. And as I was going live a few minutes ago, I was thinking about, right before I went live, I was thinking about there is a lot of psychology in this and knowing what to expect. And I think that's very vitally important, and that'll make sense as we go through these things. This is Flame Screen. As you know, you can lose money trading or as often. Sum it up, all predictions are about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. There's all my contact information. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. All right, let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. So this week we have a new mystery chart, and we'll get to that in just 1 second. And as I alluded to a second ago, the missing piece for me, I want to say 20 years ago now, it's probably 30 years ago, was actually seeing somebody do this. And I had mixed success, as everybody does as a trader. And I wasn't really super consistent, but I was chipping away at it and beginning to figure it out. But it wasn't until I was able to see other traders do things and actually trade. And there's a lot of, I don't want to throw anybody in the bus, but there's a lot of people out there that don't trade. And some people are upfront about it, and a lot of them aren't. And sometimes they'll be bragging about the results, and they'll show, if you look at the bottom, it'll say hypothetical. They just ran some kind of little system, which anybody could do. But to actually see someone talk about a trade, talk about what they like, take the trade, and then let the chips fall where they may, good, bad, or different, it manage the trade, that's the missing piece. And that was the missing piece for me. And whoever you decide to go with for help in this business, just make sure they're actually trading so you can see what's actually happening. Now, I know there's some psychologists out there that don't actually trade, and that's fine. You can learn a lot from them about psychology, but you'd probably be better off learning psychology from somebody who actually trades too. So, and I'm not trying to inflate my own ego. I'm just trying to tell you, just find somebody who's out there doing it and learn from them. And that's really the missing piece. So anyway, with that said, here's this week's mystery chart. This is just an honorable mention in the service. It was in a nice uptrend, nice Landry light, or still is, I should say. And a little bit of a pullback, not all the way to the 30, but that's okay. It still looks like a decent little setup here. And so again, this was just an honorable mention for today. This is not an official setup, an official setup, so to speak. I will put out there, I will take the trade personally, and I'll also track the trade in real time, or at least on a daily basis, and update it as it needs, or as needed. All right, here's an update on a mystery chart. This is SLDP. This was a couple of weeks ago. You can see nice uptrend, nice persistent uptrend too. Notice for the most part, it tends to go up bar after bar after bar. Nice clean trading, pullback to the moving average, lots of Landry light. That is a Landry light pullback where you have 20 or so bars of upside Landry light. In some cases, it could be much less, at least 10 though, usually. And then you look for a pullback to that moving average. Now, down below here, as I say every week, this is just an illustrator. I like to call indicators illustrators because they don't indicate anything. If you had an indicator that actually indicated something, you'd own the world, right? But where they can help you is they can show you what's already in the chart. So no matter what the indicator says, you want to always obviously look at the chart. And this just counts the number of bars, not the magnitude of the Landry light. And it resets back to zero when the price intersects the moving average. So there's parameters down below, 385, 285, 45 for the entry protective stop and initial profit target, respectively. Entry's here, stop is here, initial profit target is here. And it went a few days before actually triggering. And it triggered, came right back in, and then it began to take off again. Now it hits that initial profit target. We're going to take off half of our shares. Okay, we'll get that stop to break even. In this case, because the price moved a little higher, we trailed that stop a little bit higher. And I'll show you one in some of these upcoming charts. You want to gradually let that stop open up over time, and that's where the real money is. Anyway, since then, it's pulled back a little bit, and then unfortunately, it hit the stop, and we stopped out for a $400 gain on interest. This is on a hypothetical 100K account, but again, I actually take these trades. So $1,400, especially over a short period of time like that, okay? That's much better than poking the eye. And if this is the worst you did on every trade, you would own the world, okay? Unfortunately, it's not. But as you can see, nice little trade here. Didn't turn into the mother of all winners. But annualized, and you count up those number of days, that's, you know, a couple of weeks, 1.4% in a couple of weeks. Again, if you did that on every trade at the worst and occasionally caught a home run, you would be doing fantastic. Here's one we've been in for a while. I recently got an email that said a couple of weeks back from somebody who hadn't, who was surprised to see me still around. Not sure why, but anyway, they said, hey, glad to see you still around. I'm no longer really active trading. I'm more of an investor now. And it's like, okay, well, I invest with the trend, sort of like as Greg Morris says. So it doesn't mean that I'm in and out like the rat going for the cocaine. I do some intraday stuff more than I probably should, as I often admit. Especially, I do like things like ogres and all. I don't really see that as too much of a crazy day trade thing, but I do kind of get sucked in a little bit, especially like if the market's selling off fairly hard. I'll short some futures or maybe buy some inverse shares or whatever. And conversely, if we're having a rout day up, I might want to step on the gas a little bit and capture a little bit of that upside move. Not to get too far sidetracked. Imagine that, me getting sidetracked. But if I could only do the intraday stuff when everything sets up and be patient the rest of the time, if it's a choppy, narrow range bar, I think I would do quite well. And that's a secret to trading, or one of the big secrets, is to be super selective and learn how to sit on your hands. And if you learn how to sit on your hands, that's really, that's almost a holy grail worthy, like knowing when to stay out of the market. But it is, there are certain things you could do to make that achievable. And ideally, you want to wait, obviously, for the overall market to be trending, and you want to pick the best setups. And if you can't find a setup to save your life, then you probably shouldn't be trading. Anyway, nice uptrend here. All green and Landry light, not consistently green, because we did have a few pullbacks to the moving average along the way. But that's okay. For the most part, this stock trends, pulls back, trends, pulls back, trends, pull back, pulls back, and hopefully rinse and repeat. And that's what you want to do. Is fine some of these stocks that have set up cleanly in the past and traded cleanly in the past, and then you look to catch the next wave higher. Anyway, once again, a Landry Light pullback, and you only had about 12 or 13 days of upside Landry Light, but it's been in a pretty good uptrend since, okay? And all green down below and no red, so that's a decent looking trend. There's all your parameters. Entry is here, stop is here, initial profit target up here. And it took a few days to trigger. And initially, after triggering, it came right back in. Now, the old me would have got pissed off and quit. The new me still gets pissed off, but he doesn't quit because he put out this trading service that told everybody to stick with it unless stopped out. So I wasn't stopped out. What should I do? Nothing. Let the chips fall where they may. In for a penny, in for a pound. Now, it took a little while to get going, but it did take off again. And once again, you bank 1% of your account, okay, by taking off half the share. So you put on 2% based on the stop distance away, okay, and that's all calculated for you in the spreadsheet. So if you're risking 1 point, you would buy 2,000 shares, 2 points, 1,000 shares, and so on and so forth per 100K. Anyway, so this position is no longer dead money. When you hit the initial profit target, as I preach, your stop gets bumped up to break even. And this is something I'm really into, turning that short-term position into a longer-term position. As I alluded to earlier, somebody said they're more of an investor now than a trader. Well, that's okay. You could use these trading techniques, these pullbacks, these setups to get you into longer-term position. And I think it's important to use this hybrid money management where you're taking a trade-off, a swing trade-off, hopefully over a few days, few weeks, and then you ride that trend for a long, long time. So I'll stick with a position as long as it moves in our favor. So here's a position put on back in May, okay? And that's like, June, July, August? So it's at least 3 months. This thing's been on beginning of May, so three and a half months. Now, keep in mind, that's really not that long of a time for me. I want to be in this trade for 10 years and hopefully longer. And occasionally, we will ride out one for a few years. Anyway, so it begins to meander once again and then trade sideways and kind of drifts off a little bit. Now, this is 2 months of this trading where you've given up some open profits. Yeah, you took off $1,000, and that kind of mitigates the drawdowns and the spikes. But it's done absolutely nothing. Once again, dead money, okay? Well, dead money is money that has little or no chance of ever increasing in value. Now, if you're trading some complex options where you're looking for some sort of reversion to the mean where you close down the position and you've got the bulk of the profits out of it, you only have one or two more cents to get out of it, okay, that's kind of like a gift horse situation. So that is possibly dead money. The best you could do is make another 2 cents or whatever the case may be. The worst you could do is losing the entire position, which was nicely profitable. So yeah, that's dead money. But other than some sort of complex option position, I really don't see how you can see a position that's not stopped out as dead money, okay? You just have to follow the plan. Easier said than done. So once again, fortunately, the trend resumes. And at the peak, we were up 1676 on the remainder. So that's 2676 overall. And then our stop gets bumped up a little further in this particular case because we're trailing that stop higher. Now, as I preach, we're letting that stop gradually loosen up over time. And sometimes that's by doing nothing. Okay, we don't loosen it if the stock doesn't move, but if the stock moves up a little bit, we might leave the stop where it is. I call that keep the change. If the stock moves up a lot a bit, say 3 points, we might only bump that stop 2 points instead of bumping that stop 3 points. And so I kind of see that as gaining ground. And if you're going to monetize, let's say you monetize to your stop, then if, let's say you raise that stop 1 point on a 3 point move or whatever the case may be, then I kind of see it as you made one more point on the position through that trailing stop. So I try not to look at these peaks and troughs too much. I do point them out just so you could get a feel for the ups and downs. And believe me, you know, what's kind of shocking is even if you've been at this a long time, you come in and you see these things getting whacked a couple $1,000, it still hurts, okay? Now, I have to say, I'm a lot more flippant, and flippant is one of those superpowers we've talked about quite a bit. But I'm a lot more flippant with these service stocks. Because I was looking at one of them earlier today. I think it's up now. Thank God. But one of them was getting whacked, and especially yesterday, and it was down a few thousand, especially my bigger accounts, even more. And I'm like, holy moly, that's a lot of money. But what do I do? It's like, well, nothing, because you have to follow the plan. And hopefully, and I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully you ride out these corrections through the ever widening stop, trailing stop, and you're able to stick with a position a long time. So again, pretty much all of May, let's say May, June, July, August. So we're pushing 4 months in this position, and that's a great thing. Okay. And a lot of people like, well, Dave, you know, I love your stuff, but you seem like you're too active. It's like, well, no, because this is one trade we've been in for 4 months. Anyway, and here's one that's even longer. So this is KGC. This was a gold stock. It still is, I guess. Kind of a double top knockout look to it. Nice Landry light. And then double top knockout is when you have a minor double top and then you have kind of a knockout move. I'm not too worried about this gap. Usually I don't take a trade when the setup has a gap against the trend, but in this particular case, it's gold stock. Commodity related stocks tend to gap around a little bit, so I'm a little bit more lenient there. And it's just a cool pattern where you have this double top knockout. And I like them just FYI when the second top is higher than the first, okay? And everything I do has a psychology behind it. With a double top knockout, what you're looking for is you've got a peak here, then you got another one. You're looking for people to get sucked in on this peak, okay? And then the knockout move spits them out. So you've got the most amount of people that get trapped in the wrong side of the market. The Johnny come latelys get sucked in when it begins to break out falsely, but you don't know that at the time. And they're the last people to buy and usually the first to bail. The shorts, because they confuse the issue with facts quite often, will short into those new highs. And when this thing comes tumbling down quickly, it shakes out those people. It also gives the shorts, and this is all TKO related type of psychology, okay? The trend knockout psychology, where the knockout bar sells off really hard like this one here. And that knockout bar makes the shorts feel really good. And the shorts, they confuse the issue with facts. When the stock is going higher and it shouldn't be, they feel like they're gonna hang on. And if the market begins to rally, the shorts get squeezed, but usually not right away because they feel like they're going to be eventually vindicated. And then eventually, when they throw in the towel, sometimes everything goes parabolic from there. Anyway, just a kind of an aside there. You can see a trigger didn't do a whole lot, and then it took off a little bit, and then it just chop, 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 chop. Dead money. Okay. What do you do? Nothing, because you're not stopped out. And then fortunately, it did rally up, hit that IPT. Once again, you're making 1,000 per 100K. You're risking 2%, okay? Taking profits when you hit that 1% gain overall. And then your stop goes to break even. And then you gradually loosen up over time. And you can see kind of meandered for a while and fortunately took off once again. And now has begun to consolidate. So you have 1465 open. So as I was alluding to earlier, it's going to make a lot more sense when we get to KTOS. But when you take those half of those shares off, it helps to kind of mitigate the ups and downs, your equity swings, so to speak. And you still have enough on to where if it turns into the mother of all trends, you're able to stick with the position for a long, long time. So here's a KTOS I alluded to. Nice longer term uptrend. Much more impressive if you back the chart way out because the scaling is compressed that down now that this stock has had such a good run. But anyway, you can see Landry light below and a little pullback to the moving average, creating a Landry light pullback where the Landry light goes from 20 something or 25, I guess in this case or so, down to the moving average where it goes down to zero. This makes it really easy to scan for. I like looking at a lot of charts every day, so I don't do a whole lot of scanning. But if you wanted to scan and make sure you didn't miss anything, then by all means, should be pretty easy to figure out a scan for that. So there's your parameters. Entry is there, stop is there, initial profit target is up here. So it kind of took off right away, then came back in, and it'd be really hard to hold on. And I know this because I go through these same emotions as everyone else because I still have a pulse, right? And I'm actually one of my flaws is I'm too emotional. I get very, very emotional. And that's one of the worst traits you can have as a trader. But believe me, I probably was dropping some F-bombs on this day here, especially after being up pretty big. And then immediately give that all up. It's tough. But if you're following the plan, then you have to follow the plan and let the ships fall where they may. So you bank 1,000 at the initial profit target. And the real money, your year is made not on the little swing trade like earlier that stopped out for 1,400. Although, again, if you did, if that's the worst you did, you would own the world, right, within a year or two. But that helps, but your real money is going to be in a longer term trend like this, where you're going in again, you're getting that piece off, and then you get that stop to break even, and then you're free rolling and playing with the market's money, so to speak. Now you got to be careful with all that, I realize it, but this is a much better way to trend follow than just brute force trend following, where you put on a big position, you use a super wide stop, and then you try to hang on. The problem with that is pure trend following, you're only going to be right about 27% of the time. I did a lot of mechanical testing way back in the day. That's what made me a discretionary trader. And I would not tell you to avoid that because for me, it was a valuable lesson, but I morphed into a discretionary trader after learning all the mechanics. And it did help me to learn how the mechanics of markets work and a little bit about different methodologies. And I'll tell you this, pure trend following is beautiful and it prints money when the market's really trending, but you'll get your ass handed to you when it's not. And when you have sharp reversals, you'll also get your ass handed to you, okay? And again, I don't wanna pick on the turtles. I know I kind of bring them up every week. But they were in the right place at the right time, and they made a shit ton of money because it was in the right place at the right time, and they were trend following, okay? A lot of them didn't make it past the program, though, and I think part of the reason, some people's like, well, they no longer had Eckert and Dennis as mentors, and if you read, I'm not a fan of the turtle books that were written by non-turtles, and I don't want to go any further than that because there's one gentleman I see gets in a pissing contest with the turtles, and I'm like, you weren't a turtle. You don't qualify. But anyway, one that was a turtle that wrote a book, Curtis Faith, he's got Trading from the Guts, and his other one, I forget, I think it's The Way of the Turtle, but just do Faith and Turtle. And he wrote two really good books. And even he said that halfway through the program, they realized that their risk were way out of line and they had to scale way back. So even the turtles themselves during the program under the tutelage, if that's the word, could have easily blown up. So the point I'm trying to get to, believe it or not, I have one, is that longer term trend following is tough and your drawdowns are going to be absolutely abysmal and your accuracy is going to suck. However, if you take a hybrid approach, sometimes you'll make a little money to swing trade like I showed a minute ago. Sometimes you get stopped out, as I showed last week. And then sometimes, albeit a little bit more rarely, but it does happen. And that's when your year is made, you'll catch the occasional outlier. And we're really hunting those outliers. Anyway, so you can see it did take off after it hit the IPT a little bit. Traded sideways for a moment. And this is where we began to slowly, not while I was trading sideways, but like here, you're slowly bringing that stop up, and then you don't do anything when the market chops around. Now, I know we have a guy in the group that uses a moving average as a trailing stop. At least I think that's what he's doing, and that's fine. But my only problem with that is as you can see here, notice that price is going sideways and not making any progress. And because of the drop-off effect, that moving average is coming up, okay? So just naturally, so to speak, that moving average has come up and stopped you out, and the stock has done nothing wrong by trading sideways. Now, I tried programming it a while back, but I don't have a robust enough coder, or so to speak, or a script language, whatever you want to call it, to do it. But I was thinking that if you had a moving average that would only adjust based on new closes, I think you'd really have something that'd be great for a stop. So if somebody wants to program that or can figure out how to program it in TC or something like that, the problem is I don't think the language is robust enough from what I saw. But you see what I'm saying? It's like you only want, instead of this, so let's see, like on this day here, this moving average would be right there. And then on this day, it wouldn't go up any higher, okay? Until the market began to move again. And that way, it wouldn't be as affected as much by the drop-off effect. And now I'm thinking of all kind of different math to do with that. But maybe it goes into some kind of mode where it pauses and then it catches up slowly again as the price moves, and then it turns back into a moving average at some point in time. So hopefully that made sense, but that's what I'm doing by hand every day when I put the stop in, okay? So if you would go in and look at the archives, DaveLandry.com/archives, or get the newer ones on YouTube, youtube.com/Dave Landry, and it's the core trading service playlist, you'll see that on this day here, I probably didn't adjust the stop, but on this day I did. This day just went up a little bit. That's what I call keep the change, okay? And then it chopped sideways. So if you can't sleep at night, and I would advise you not to operate heavy machinery after, borrowing a line from Greg Morse, look at those archives and look at how I adjusted the stops to get a feel for how that works, to let that stop loosen up over time. But anyway, so this Katos was doing fantastic, and then it turns into dead money. So what do you do? Well, nothing, okay? Takes off again. Of course, they don't always do that, but this one did. And as of whenever I took this snapshot, it was 28.87 open. So you've got 38.87 per 100K. That's $4,000 round numbers, which is 4%. Over a relatively short period of time. Again, that's a pretty big deal. And this stock is close to doubling since we got in, or at least it came fairly close, you know, 40 something to almost 80 would be a double. So far so good. We'll see how things go. Hopefully we'll be in that one for a long, long time. Now this was ABCL. Or still is, I guess. And there's the parameters down there. Entry was here, stop was here. Initial profit target was up here. Now this one made an opening gap reversal. And I didn't take the trade, at least yet. I will take the trade on a re-trigger possibly. And oh, Dave, I thought you said took all the trades. Well, I applied a little discretion on this one. And I'm trying to think of what might have happened. I might have been really busy in that day and actually missed the open and got lucky. Which is shame, you know, bad behavior. And that's one thing I do is I admit a lot of bad behavior because we all have bad behavior, okay? And I'm going to admit something right now. I probably shouldn't, but I left on, in more than one account, I left on a position by accident that should have been closed out at the close at a profit, okay? And then the next day, it got creamed. Now, luckily, the next day, I was able to pick up some other money to replace it, but that doesn't always happen. And everything you do, you have to think about what type of psychological impact that's going to have on you. So I probably could have made a lot more money yesterday had I not been dealing with the stress of this F up. And it amazes me that as long as I've been at this, and I think other traders are probably somewhat the same, you still make mistakes. You still have these emotions about things because you're still human. And it's still tough. And then it's funny. It's like whenever you feel like, man, I got this figured out, the next day you get your ass handed to you. So what I'm trying to convey there is you have to live with the ups and downs that comes with the territory. And that's a big part of trading, is wrapping your head around all the ups and downs. Anyway, we have minus 104.0 open. So not very impressive so far on this one. And well, Dave, it's dead money. Let's just get out. Well, that might be the thing to do, but longer term, if you bail out on dead money, as you saw in the previous example, so far at least, knock on wood, come in. If you get out on dead money, you're never going to catch any big winners. TGN, another mystery chart update. You can see we have quite a few open positions, and they've been open for quite some time. So this one, nice uptrend, nice persistent uptrend, lots and lots of Landry Light. And it's also an IPO, persistent, nice little pullback to the moving average. There's all your parameters down below. And again, that comes, I actually go in and look at those same exact archives I talk about, and that's where those screenshots come from, okay? To go back in time to see what I was thinking at the time and grab the screenshot from the video. Entry protective stop, respectively. Initial profit targets up here. Let's take a look at what happened. So it triggers, comes right back in, then takes off, then comes back in, then takes off, fortunately, and hits the IPT. So again, we're bringing that stop up to break even. And then let the chips fall where they may. Now, there was a lot of excitement here, and I actually kind of hate to see them do this. I actually would prefer a market to just kind of go up more gradually. But there were earnings, I guess, on this particular day, and the stock's up tremendously, a couple of bucks, which showing them, yeah, it's like 20 something percent, just kind of ridiculous. But unfortunately, was unable to sustain it, came back in. But that's okay. It still looks okay longer term. Now, you had 1676 in open profits, and then 1176 of that evaporated. Is that my math right on that? I think so. So over $1,000 of that evaporated, but you just sit tight. I know, easier said than done, right? Relax. It let the chips fall where they may. So let's just see how that one shakes out. That's TGen. Here's Kados. Okay. So again, this is one where the rally is much more impressive. Pull back to the moving average. And again, I feel like we already talked about this one, but yeah, this is the entry's off on this one. So this might be an old slide. But so this looks like it's off, but this one has 3153 open and 1,000 was banked. So 4153 on that one. Now, one thing I did want to show you on this one is this was a $1,700 slide in open profits. Okay, that hurts. Okay, but it would be much, much larger, be $3,000, $3,500, $3,400 if you had twice the position. In other words, if you didn't take any partial profits. All right, any questions at all? Let's go ahead and shift gears. Just real quick, Landry 100. Kind of a proof of concept type of thing. I'm not actually using real dollars, although I did do some experimenting with it, and I will probably continue to experiment with it and figure out ways to monetize it through trading. But at the least, I could see where the money's flowing. I could see momentum get whacked when it gets whacked. I could see, like, sometimes when this list does poorly and the market's still making new highs. You know that internally the market is losing some steam. So there's a lot of great things that come from it. But anyway, everything is bought at a brand new high. I actually took out a couple of stocks over the last couple of weeks that were up 100% or more because they were beginning to come back in. In other words, losing momentum. But this one here, NEGG, was bought at a brand new high. Now, it would be hard and maybe not prudent to just buy a stock that looks like that banging out a new high. It's actually a new closing high. And sometimes a closing high, let's say this is the high bar, and here's your closing high. Let's say this one closes. I don't know if I could do this, like where my thumb is, and you have a close here, but the high is less than it. That new closing high could be a little stealthy sometimes. So that could actually be a good thing to watch for. And that's why I'm using a new closing high as opposed to a brand new high. But anyway, this one's had a pretty good run since the end of July, up 120 something percent. Now, as I preach each week, you probably wouldn't want to buy one or two of these stocks, but if you're buying a big enough portfolio, and how big that needs to be, I don't know. I think it was Jeff in here that's usually here on Thursdays. He's done some statistics, and he doesn't think you need 100 stocks. I don't know. I just feel like 100 is a big, round, safe number, okay? And it ensures you that you're going to catch the occasional really big winner. We had one that ran over 3,000% a while back, stopped out at 1,700%, or I pulled it out at 1,700% when it was on its way down. So, yeah, you gave up a ton of open profits, but that comes with the territory. But anyway, zooming these in, you can see from the dates that they were put in. And again, these were brand new highs. And this is the run that they've made since then. So take a look at the KGC, which we got in not that long ago. SLDP, look at that. So that's one too, okay, that we just got knocked out of. No, are we still in that? No, we got knocked out. So that was the one that we made $1,400 on. But you can see it had a pretty good run and it was in this list. So maybe something else in this list will pull back soon, or something will pull back soon and provide us with yet another setup. So there's a lot of good that comes from this, capital flows. And I started making pie charts of this and I put them in the Facebook group, also put them in Substack for the paid Substack members. And thank you, by the way, for that. And you can see as the pieces, so to speak, grow and shrink, you can see where the money is flowing. And the other thing too is it occasionally you'll find like some kind of obscure small sector that you really can't really put kind of pigeonhole, so to speak, like diversified industrials. But within diversified industrials, be like small scale nuclear, okay? And that might be something that's worth going after. And you can see these trends begin to emerge. And as I've said before, if you go back and look at some of the presentations I did earlier this year when the market was tanking, the Landry 100 started having more drugs and healthcare and grocery stores and even more boring stocks, kind of the consumer defensive, because those areas were rallying. The money was flowing into those areas because we were going into what looked like a bear market, and we had a brief bear market, I guess. And then those have since been taken out, and then the momentum stocks went back in. So you will have some defensive issues showing up, and that could be a sign ahead of time. Those defensive issues start doing really well, then you have to say, aha, maybe momentum is coming to an end. These defensive stocks are becoming momentum, so that might be kind of a telltale sign. But anyway, it's a wonderful exercise. If I say so myself, I would encourage you to do all this type of stuff yourself just to get a feel for things. And of course, you could just follow me. Just real briefly, I haven't talked a lot about the TFM 10% system because it's been long for a while. The buys, this is a weekly system, okay? So this is a weekly chart. You need 2 bars of upside Landry light, lows greater than the moving average. The moving average is a 50-week simple. I wanted something very long-term, okay, 50 weeks. And I wanted to keep it simple because I wanted to give the market a lot of wiggle room. So that's kind of designer's intent in there. And the other designer's intent is if a market drops 10% or more from its 50-week closing high, then it's in trouble and you might need to get out. So if it drops 10% or more from the 50-week closing high and closes below the 50-week simple moving average, you need to exit the market. 2 bars of Landry light to get back in. The Landry light to the upside rule is to help avoid whipsaw. That's the only really sort of whipsaw filter in this. And it's worked incredibly well for something so simple. And I have a meme, I'll have to show it to you next week, but it's about when you're testing a system and when you actually put it into practice. And you got to be really careful so you're not curve fitting. And that's why I kept this system pure going back. Even though I wanted to tweak this thing so many ways, I just tried to keep it as pure as possible. And it hasn't changed since I published it. I forget how many years, 5 years ago, whatever the case may be. But anyway, the thought is if you're 10% or more away, which is this hot pink zone, you want to think about getting out of the way of the market, okay? And as long as you're within like the green zone up here, which is 5%, the market is doing pretty good. And don't worry, be happy. I know, easier said than done. But you come in like a day like yesterday or a couple of weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we had a big spill in the market, and you're just getting creamed, you're getting whacked. It's easy not to let that manifest into freaking you out and jumping out of the market. It does help to see the forest for the trees. And it's helping me today because I haven't looked at this in a while. Looking at it today, I'm like, okay, Dave, you've had some ups and downs and F-bombs here on these sharp sell-offs. But bigger picture-wise, okay, 30,000-foot view, the market still looks pretty good. And as long as you're in the green, again, don't worry, be happy. You get a pink zone here, which is a little bit more than 5%. Then you need to start thinking about pulling your horns in a little bit. Make sure you're being prudent. Don't bail in your positions, but make sure you honor your stops. And if it gets 10% or more away, if you have any longer-term positions that are, let's say, in the overall market, like overall market timing, I have some leftover college funds for my daughters. I use this system to get them in and out of the market. And right now, they've been long since the last signal in here. So that's the TFM 10% system. So green is good, okay? As long as you're within 5% of the 50-week closing high, don't worry, be happy when it comes to the markets. All right, let's shift gears and hop into crypto. If there's any crypto you guys want me to take a look at, please let me know. Okay, here's the, oops. So let's take a look at crypto real quick. Now, Bitcoin is becoming a bit of a bummer. We're beginning to have some downside Landry light vis-a-vis the 30 EMA, okay? And we broke out past this prior base. We took off, we came back in. I kept thinking that if we broke 100, we'd go to 200. But that might take a while. It seems like every time we get at these high levels, I think, and I don't know for a fact, but just looking at some of the X feed, you can see that they're reporting a lot of big whale type of selling at high levels. And I think what's happening, as I've said quite often, and it's very important, by the way, it's very important to think about the participants of the market you're trading, okay? That Newegg I showed earlier, NEGG, I think, or whatever, that's like a retail online company, I think. And it's going straight up. It's like, is it really that great? Or do the Reddit boys, or the Reddit boys attack, not attacking it, but like going after it and pumping it? It's probably what that is, okay? But so what? It's going up, okay? Don't confuse the issue with facts, I get. But it's possible that some early adopters, like I said last week or whatever, forget how many billion it was, but whoever bought the first pizza, the pizzas were $41 and it was like 10,000 Bitcoin. Do the math on that. It's like $1.2 billion. It's what it would be worth. They were trying to make a proof of concept back in the day. I think there was a book called Digital Gold, which is okay. It wasn't phenomenal, but I listened to it a while back. It was pretty good. If you want to, if you're bored and you want to listen to something on Bitcoin or whatever, make it a long drive or something. A lot of interesting stories in there. And they were just trying to make a proof of concept. They were bidding this digital currency and they were trying to make a proof of concept. And it's like, okay, well, I want some pizza. I'll give somebody 10,000 Bitcoin for a pizza. And then some other guy says, okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take those Bitcoin. He called Domino's and had two pizzas delivered to them. He put it on his credit card. The guy paid only 10,000 Bitcoin for the pizza. Two pizzas, actually. $41 total, or 10,000 Bitcoin. And that would be worth $1 billion in change today. So I think there's some early adopters. Maybe the guy who got the money, who spent $41 for 10,000 Bitcoin, maybe now that he's a billionaire, maybe he's been lightening up a little bit. Who knows? Anyway, but that's Bitcoin. Bitcoin's looking kind of ugly. Leave it alone for now. Now, Ethereum, there were a lot of memes and jokes made about Ethereum, about how crappy it is, but Ethereum has begun to take off. So let's take a look at that. So Ethereum looks pretty good. You could see nice uptrend. What is this? Landry light pullback, bam, takes off again. Comes almost all the way down to 30 EMA, looking pretty good, okay? So if you were entering this with a little wiggle room, maybe around, let's say 43.50, okay? Stop out somewhere down here below the EMA. I think that could be a viable trade, okay? And that's looking pretty darn good. So Bitcoin finally, I'm sorry, Ethereum finally has begun to kick it into gear. Ideally, you want the bellwether, which is Bitcoin, to be doing well before going after these other pairs, although Ethereum right now is looking pretty good. Wait for an entry though. And when Bitcoin's doing well, sometimes you can come in here, as I preach each week, and just take a look at the pairs that are doing the best. And ideally, you want to buy them when they're at the top of their candles and pushing higher. And sometimes, again, you can just buy brand new highs. Now, I'm not doing that this week because, unless I see something I really like, because Bitcoin's not doing so hot. But anyway, you get the idea. You're just playing the relative strength game. Any pairs you guys want me to take a look at? All right, let's go ahead and shift gears and let's take a look at stocks. S&P 500, kind of a little weak today. As I said, the market in a minute, it could use a little bit of correction. And a correction, it's like I have to be careful how I say these things because I don't want to aggravate anyone. But corrections are good for a market. And sometimes the market gets a little ahead of itself. And so far, we've just come down to the 30 EMA. And again, take a look at the weekly chart with the zones, and we're well within 5% of the 50-week closing high. So it's kind of like, don't worry, be happy, right? I know. But so far, it's looking pretty good. Now that the correction, now we've corrected down to 30, I'd like to see us go on and bang out some new highs, of course. NASDAQ Composite, same sort of action happening there too. Off a little today, but for the most part, hanging in there. Rusty 2000, actually kind of up a little now after a bit of a reversal. That actually looks okay. It has a little resistance to overcome, but so far it's looking okay. It broke out, pulled back a little bit, which is okay. And ideally, I want to see it make a new leg higher. And while we're wishing for things, I'd like to see it make all-time highs. Speaking of all-time highs, even shares were just there yesterday, coming back in a little today. So far, so good. That's the foreign shares. Gold, the commodity, has been kind of super flat for quite some time. Gold stocks, though, continue to do well. You can see, look at that today, banging out some brand new highs. So far, so good there. Again, we're long TFPM, I think is gold, and KGC. So we'll see how that shakes out. Some areas not so hot. Maybe put in some moving averages on some of these. So you've got cyber computing, okay? And you can see the bow ties on that one have flipped over to the downside. So that's one sector that's not looking so hot. Bigger picture wise, it broke out past its prior peak and then it kind of rolled back over. So that's looking sort of ugly. There's a few other areas that are becoming questionable too. Lithium is on the cusp of forming a bow tie. I'm sorry, uranium is on the cusp of forming a bow tie to the downside. And you can see you have a big picture head and shoulders top. There's a shoulder, there's a head, and there's another shoulder. Notice that the right shoulder is higher than the left shoulder. Very important with head and shoulder patterns. I've discovered that on my own, but I've since seen it in books before somewhere. But in general, you want the right shoulder to be higher than the left, and that's actually most bearish. And I think if I had to wrap my head around it, I'm guessing that when the market rallies back up, everybody thinks it's the all clear, it's going back to old highs, and maybe some people begin to pile on. And then when that doesn't happen, when it stalls short of those prior highs and rolls over, psychologically, they're in a bit of a predicament. And that's how you have to look at markets. Like, what are the people thinking? What are the charts saying? And you're just reading the mind of the market with technical analysis. Let's take a look at a few more sectors and then we'll wrap it up. Software, in other words, area is not doing so well, okay? It's bow tied to the downside. It got past its prior peak in here, but unfortunately, it's come right back in. Although on an individual basis, I am seeing some strength still here, but that is a little bit of concern. I mentioned lithium a second ago by accident, but you can see it's just pulled back. So it's looking pretty good within the metals. In fact, metals overall still look pretty good. So far, just kind of pulling back. They haven't even touched that 30. So that's a good thing. That's 30 EMA. Financials just kind of chopping around sideways. They look okay, but I sure would like to see them get out of this base before getting too excited there. Semiconductors have lost some steam as of late. They still look pretty good, though. So far in an uptrend, so far just pulled back. But if they take out this knockout bar and possibly this bar here, or maybe let's say trade down below 275, just to give you kind of a, not a line in the sand, but an area to watch. If we get much below that, I would be concerned. Robotics and AI still looking pretty good, but a lot of these areas have corrected, even the really good looking ones. So we need to pay attention now and make sure that the market keeps on keeping on. Defense came down, consolidated, tagged that 30 EMA. It's hovering around it. So far, it still looks pretty good. Okay. Now, if it takes out these lows, then maybe all bets are off. But for now, kind of hanging in there, not too far from all-time highs. So that's looking pretty good too. Biotechnology has been doing really well. And it's pushed through this overhead supply like butter so far. So far, so good there. That's another case where the sector overall looks okay, but not fantastic. But within the sector, the stocks are looking okay. And that's one thing when you go to like the Landry 100 and take a look at that pie chart, which I'll put up probably tomorrow. I have a webinar in a little while, another webinar. So we'll be able to get it done today. But maybe late today or tomorrow, I'll put up the pie chart into Substack and to my Facebook group. But if you take a look at the Landry 100 and you sort by sector, you can see there's still a lot of biotechnology in here. Okay, so this is really good. Look at ABCL. Wow, look at that. I would put all your money into that stock. Mortgage the house. That's a joke. But you can see these biotechs in here are looking pretty darn good. So far, so good. Even though the sector's good, but not incredible. But you can see this is the biggest, or one of the biggest pieces of pie. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Okay, so 18 out of 100 of these stocks are biotechnology. So that's the strongest stocks within the Landry 100. And that tells me, look at this. I feel like Tiny Elvis. Look at this stock, it's huge. Oh, notice the tracking date on this one, okay? Now, I'm not saying rush out and do this on an individual basis. Believe me, you're gonna get your ass handed to you if you do. But look at this particular case. This was put in yesterday at an all-time high right there. And then today it's up 22%, okay? If you buy enough of these in a momentum market, okay, in this case, 100, and I think it's Jeff who knows a little bit more about statistics than me, a lot more. All I know is statistics are worthless, easy for me to say. 73.4% of all people know that. And there's another one. This was put in yesterday. It's up a smidge. So it kind of gives you an idea where the money's flowing. You can see a couple of capital markets in here. These are actually crypto-related stocks. So they're doing okay. They're not doing fantastic. But I had a few more of those not that long ago. But now that Bitcoin's stalling out a little bit, some of those have begun to come off. But you can see what's moving. And then every now and then you get a random sector like coal. Okay, it's doing okay. So it's a great exercise, if I say so myself. Remember earlier we looked at software and it looked kind of abysmal? Well, that one's looking questionable. Well, maybe these are starting to look questionable. Yeah, so these are starting to look a little questionable. So we still have quite a few softwares in here, but other than this one, they're starting to look a little questionable. So maybe these softwares will start coming out. We'll see. All right, I think that's pretty much it. Any questions? I'm using anecdotes or anything? Well, while we're at Impasse, obviously I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. I'm flattered that you guys and girls would show up for this thing. Thank you so much. Anything unanswered, DavidDaveLandry.com. Everybody have a great weekend. Everybody on Facebook, I'll see you in a little while. And for everybody, may the trend be with you. Thank you so much.